morning as well. We heard about my disciples. As Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be in the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, may he give it to you. These things I command you, that you will love one another. Lord Jesus says, come, the desire is here, you speak. And you, Lord Jesus, you are our true friend, would open your heart to us.
Thank you. statement that is talking about how God creates mankind. And so, biblical godly relationship is rooted in our being created in God's image. Let us make man and Christ in our image. We are made in God's image. That is amazing. Of all that God has made, only human beings are made in His image. Animals are not made in His image. Plants are not made in His image. Angels are not made in His image. But human beings are the crown, the apex of His creation, created to reflect Him the rest of what He's made. That's what it is to be made in the image of God. It means that we are created as those who can show forth to these powers, what our God is truly like. It's like we're a mirror to reflect His glory and beauty to others. We're made to glorify and enjoy Him. How do you glorify and enjoy His messages? By knowing Him, by loving Him, by reflecting His take care of and glory to those around us. Let's see. Part of this image bearing is God in our relationship with one another. This is confirmed as we turn the page to Genesis chapter 2. As you read from Genesis chapter 1, it says, oh, he gives a big picture of creation. And then in chapter 2, he zooms in, as it were, on day 6 and opens it up for us and shows us what took place in the creation of man. And all throughout the creation narrative in Genesis 1, you know, at the end of everything he says, and after he said, let me light, there was light, I saw there was light, and it was good. Everything was good. It was good. And at the end of chapter 1, he says, and it was very good. God was good creation. But then, go through, see how he created man, forms it from the ground, breathes life. In the Garden of Eden, say the first place which God meets with man on the earth. Simple as it were, that place of meeting with God, and He sets His word in this garden. But then He says something in verse 18, in chapter 2, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him. This is astounding. There's something in God's creation that's not good. And it's not good that man should be alone. What's the solution? Well, we find God creates all of these animals, right? After He sees them, He names them. Can you imagine that He goes through and names these animals? He knows there's more than one of them. reality is, in this sinful and fallen world, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the reality is, even these friendships, these common grace friendships that are in mercy, but even these common grace friendships fall short of what God designed for them to be. And just think with me for a moment some of these kinds of friendships and how they fall short. The most obvious one is a selfish friendship. The only reason you're friends with the other person is what you gain from them. You're really just using them. This happens all the time. And it can be very subtle. Not as far as someone say, hi, my name is John, I'm a teacher. You don't do that. But have you ever thought about being a teacher and that person because that person is well known, oh, my, it will increase my status and my others. Ooh, there's a group of people that I want to be a part of. What friends with them and I'll have their in. Or have you ever just enjoyed having this particular friend because it flattered you? Maybe you feel good. Someone you like to be around. Maybe that friend that points out one of those sins in you. That person you really don't want to be around. Selfish friendship. But in this world, another way in which common grace we see a lot of friendships form is just by common interests. Shared hobbies, shared activities, even shared areas of ministry. So maybe if there's someone who likes to run half marathons, you have a group of running buddies, running friends. You get together and you encourage each other. And I'm not saying that you don't have this other person. It's not bad in and of itself. The reality is that if friendship stays centered around that common interest, it will fall short of what God wants. You know, these interests change. That's a lasting foundation. Here's another way in which common grace friendships can form this same stage of life friendships. Where this same part of growing up, same area of schooling, or maybe we're young married with young children, maybe young married with no children, or singles, we get kind of just gravitates to being in the same stage of life. These are the ones in which we bring back common experience. And again, that's not bad in itself. The problem is, if that's the only kind of friendships that you have, if that's the basis of your friendships, they will fall short of God's friendship. Let me give you one more. Is what I call Facebook friends. Now, I'm not saying that you can never use Facebook, but let's think about what we mean by Facebook friends. It's friendship on our own terms. And friendship is really a substitute for a whole deep, genuine relationship. One newspaper journalist wrote this about Facebook and how we use Facebook. She said, in the silence of connection, people are comforted by being in touch with a lot of people. Carefully, that fit. We can't get enough of one another. We use technology to keep one another at distances we can control. Not too close, not too far, just right. So we use things like social media and other things to, on one hand, have these connections with all sorts of people, but it's friendship on our own terms, on our own side of table. We decide what we get on, what we post, how we post it, what kind of image we want to drag. We decide who we want to friend, who we want to unfriend. Expression, and it really is an expression of his friend. And he saw it in the way that he responded to Adam and Eve. He didn't just say, I told you. And the day that he was going to surely die, and now you're going to die, and that's it, we're going to die.
Thank you.
the one who brings true shalom, true peace. First, peace with God. By reconciling us in, by destroying the hostility that existed between us and God. We rebel against God. We said, as you heard earlier, we're autonomous. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I don't want you to tell me what to do. That's what we said. God, the first hostility is between us and God. We deserve to be damned forever. Christ. Thank you. face to face communion,
and then you're able to turn to be side by side in your role of one by God. This, by the grace of God, we can have these kinds of pictures. But the question still remains. So we might talk about this first point, a biblical worldview of God's relationships, but the question is, how do we actually enter into that? How do we establish that? What does that look like? This is where we're going to say, what should be a biblical wisdom of God's relationships? What does the scriptures teach us about how we go about cultivating these friendships? You just walk up to someone and say hi and kind of want to do it personally. Maybe hang out this way. But the first and most important thing we know is this, is that you must cultivate your friendship with a friend of sinners, Jesus Christ. If you're going to have godly relationships, you must be godly. And the only way you're going to be godly is that Christ hates you. Have you heard? Who is it that sacrifices? God. It is God's work. And you do that by cultivating your relationship, your friendship with Him. Christ, your Savior, must first make you whole. Until you find Christ in your own home, you're going to try to search for something else to put in. And that means, in all your relationships, you're going to be using other people somewhere. So until you are made whole in Christ Jesus, and you receive that He is your all, that you are loved by Him, then you are able to love others. Christ's love is an infinite love that will never end, never cease, never fail. He loves you in that way that will close in your life. But that's an important thing we have to understand going back to John 15. That means we must be in Him. He's describing for them what they should do. And He wants them to be fruitful. But the only way to be fruitful is to be a branch that's connected to the vine. There's two kinds of branches described in this passage. There's those that are connected, and they are the ones who receive that life to be sapped from the vine, which is Christ. There's those who are disconnected, who don't bear any fruit, all from the fire. So you want to be connected, and this is beautiful image. It describes how you cultivate your relationship. Notice how he then also says, already in verse 3, you are clean because the word I have spoken to you abide behind you. I have vine, you have branches. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. How do we cultivate this friendship? By abiding in Christ. How do you have my abiding in His word? It goes back to those means of that we're talking about by Scripture. We hear the precious words of our Savior speaking to us. By prayer, we are able to unburden our souls to Him. We've heard a phrase, bosom buddy, bosom friend. Thank you.
candor, your carefulness, and lastly, simple friendships are friendships where you have good counsel. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says it this way: without counsel, plans fail, and with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says it this way: oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest.
But then that next level is acquaintances. Okay, they're no longer
presence in this room. We pray that you